take from Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 36. Immediately after the suffering of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken.
Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near.
So also, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates.
Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place.
Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away.
But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father.
May the Lord have blessing to the reading of the Holy Word this day. Now, this is going to be something a little different today, because when I was a kid, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid and anybody read about the second coming of the last days, it was a fire and brimstone that had to start. Yeah? Can somebody say amen to that?
Amen.
Okay. But this is Jesus speaking. Alright? And Jesus wants to, he's not trying to scare anybody, quite the opposite. He is lovingly telling his disciples that the Father has everything under control. And if you are hidden in Christ, as Paul says, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're born again, however you want to say it, if you have the Holy Spirit living with you, then you will be comforted. God is in control. End time prophecy confirms that God's sovereignty is alive and well over history. It reveals that God has a plan and purpose for the world that is being worked out according to his divine will. Jesus, in these words in Matthew, wanted to comfort his disciples by telling them that he has a plan for his people and that everything works out in our favor. And as the Apostle Paul put it, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. The rapture and the second coming. That's what we're going to talk about today. This is End Times Part 1. Okay, so we're going to talk about these two things, the rapture and the second coming, and most biblical scholars believe that that is the order that they come in. So we'll just get into it this morning. So the rapture and the second coming of Christ are often confused. The rapture could happen at any moment. That is the first thing is yet to happen. We are now living in what we call the age of the church. Okay, the next thing that is to happen is the rapture. The rapture could happen at any moment, but the second coming cannot happen until several other things take place. The rapture has been described, and you probably heard this, it's either pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, meaning it either comes before tribulation, in the middle of the tribulation, because it's divided into 7 years, or 3.5 years, and in the first and 3.5 in the second. So pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. But the scripture indicates that the elect will not suffer at least the worst of the tribulation and maybe not any of it. So it's either pre or mid in my estimation, and that is the consensus of most biblical scholars. So either pre or mid-tribulation. It is sometimes hard to understand if a scripture is referring to the rapture or to the second coming. And so we need to read carefully. It's best to keep them separate for better understanding, because the rapture certainly comes before the second coming of Christ. The rapture is when Jesus returns to remove, so this is the definition. The rapture is when Jesus returns to remove all believers in Christ from the earth. And it is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15 at the end of the chapter, beginning with verse 50. Believers who have died will have their bodies resurrected, and along with believers who are still living, they will go to meet the Lord in the air. This will all happen in the twinkling of an eye. And as I said, according to Scripture, that is the next thing that is to happen. The second coming happens after that. And this is when Jesus returns to defeat the Antichrist, destroy evil, and establish his millennial kingdom. So, there you have it. And next week we're going to talk about the millennium a little bit. The second coming is described in Revelation chapter 19. So if you want to look at that. So, in these scripture references, if you want them again at the end, I can supply you with these. Now, I want to give you five differences between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture occurs before at least some of the tribulation. This is according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 9 and Revelation 3, 10. The second coming is after the great and terrible tribulation. And this, we find this in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, which talks about the tribulation. So that's one difference. The rapture happens before and the second coming comes after. The second thing is the rapture is the removal of all believers from the earth as an act of deliverance. This is, again, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5. This is the Apostle Paul writing. The second coming of Christ includes the removal of unbelievers as an act of judgment. So that second piece is here again. The rapture is the removal of believers from the earth as an act of deliverance, and the second coming, when Christ comes at the end of the age, includes the removal of unbelievers in an act of judgment, where they are not following the Lord. The third thing is this. At the rapture, believers meet the Lord in the air, which we've already mentioned. At the second coming, the believers will return with the Lord to the earth. So all those who have been raptured and those in heaven will come with the Lord to the earth for the second coming. Number four, the rapture will be secret and instant, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And there's a series of books and even movies called the Left Behind series that talk about that. The second coming will be visible to all. And so when Jesus says, when somebody says, look, Jesus is over here, he's over there, he's in the wilderness, wherever he says, don't pay any attention to that, because when I come, again, the second coming, everyone will see me coming out of the clouds. The second coming will be visible to all. Revelation chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 24. Number 5, again, the rapture could take place at any moment. This is also verified in Titus chapter 2 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which we've already talked about, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The second coming will not occur until after certain other end time events do take place. Now, why is it important to keep the rapture and the second coming distinct? If the rapture and the second coming are the same event, believers will have to go through the tribulation. And the scripture talks about being delivered from that, the tribulation. Number two, if the rapture and second coming are the same event, Christ's return is not imminent. In other words, according to the Bible's calendar, that's the next thing that happens. Okay, the rapture is the next thing that happens. And we read that these things that must happen before his return, or we can find these in Matthew chapter 24. And number three, under why it's important to keep them separate, is this. In describing the tribulation period, and that would be in Revelation chapter 6 through 19, that's the best place to find all of that, it nowhere mentions the church. So the church is not there during the tribulation. During the tribulation, also called the time of trouble for Jacob, God will again turn his primary attention to Israel. So another summarizing statement here. The rapture and the second coming are similar but separate events. Both of them involve Jesus' return. Both are end time events. It is important to recognize the differences because the rapture is the return of Christ in the clouds to remove all believers from the earth before God's wrath, and the second coming is the return of Christ to the earth to bring the tribulation to an end and to defeat the Antichrist and his evil world empire. I want to talk to you about something that is not often talked about, and is talked about by the Apostle Paul, and it is called the restoration of all things. And what brought this to my mind actually this week was the death of Marley, a dog. And how many of you get attached to your animals? You know that those are gifts from God, and that according to Scripture, St. Francis of Assisi proclaimed this, and there's a gentleman, I do as well, there's a gentleman by the name of John Eldridge, Eldridge, and if you look up for, he has a good talk, I'm not sure if it's on YouTube or what, but you can Google it and find it. But John Eldridge talks about the restoration of all things, and it is scriptural. And I believe that every gift that God has given us is not by accident. And when our furry friends go, you know that. Well, let me just say that I believe that there will be a reunion. Describing this wonderful event, Paul writes this: for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. Okay, so all of creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, because the entire physical creation was subjected to sin, not willingly, but because of Adam, who subjected it. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption. I'll read it again. The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, which is decay and destruction. And it will be transformed into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now, who are we going to see on the other side? And who are we going to see? And it's actually, yes, is it in heaven? Yes. But first, there's a 1,000-year reign on the earth. Okay, and all things will be restored as they were originally meant to be. So all, I'm going to get to meet I know my parents and my grandparents, but I'll get to meet some of my grandparents and my great-grandparents, grandparents, and we'll all be hanging around for 1,000 years. If that sounds good, would you say amen? Yeah. Okay. Now, so the restoration of all things is beautiful, and I cannot emphasize that enough, because that's really what I want to leave you with. But I'm going to give you a couple more things here, because somebody said to me, you know, Pastor John, nobody preaches about this anymore, and it's good for us to do this on occasion, and I'll remind you why at the end. I'm going to talk about, there are two judgments. One is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and the Judgment Seat of Christ. The Judgment Seat of Christ is also called the Mercy Seat. So in the first, according to Scripture, the Great White Throne Judgment, the people that are judged are only the unbelievers. And the Judgment Seat of Christ is only believers who are judged. So we pass from the Great White Throne Judgment, if we are in Christ, to the Judgment Seat of Christ, which has mercy. When is the judgment? The Great White Throne Judgment for unbelievers is after the millennium. So after Christ comes and sets up the 1,000-year reign, throne judgment is after the millennium and after those who have somehow been allowed to stay, and they have denied Christ. So that's the great white throne judgment, those who have lived through the millennium and they have denied Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is after the rapture and before the marriage supper of the Lamb. So what is the witness to the great white throne judgment? The book of life. And what is the witness for the judgment seat of Christ? Each person gives an account. And people will be talking. And I've got a poem I wrote about this, and I can share it with you at some point if you'd like. On a personal, I don't want to take time out this morning to do that. Okay, so what is the role of the works, the things that we have done? And you know, you remember when Jesus was talking to the people about the children? He says, and this is especially pertinent to us today, because we know that there are people trying to tell our kids all sorts of crazy things in school. And there are even religious organizations, who I will not name, who have sent out books to teach children how to defy nature. That's all I'm going to say. It's terrible. I can't believe the churches do that. But what did Jesus say? He says, one of you, any one of you who leads a child astray and teaches them wrongly, it would be better for you if you were never born. It will be better for you if you are never born. So, be careful with the kids. He also says that about Israel. God is very clear that if ever he wants to keep hands off of Israel, he takes care of Israel. And that starts in Genesis chapter 12, and is reiterated throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. So the great white throne judgment, what is the final result? For that judgment, it is only for those who have denied Christ, and so they receive eternal condemnation. And the final result for judgment seat, or the mercy seat of Christ, rewards are bestowed or withheld. So in other words, as Jesus said, it is not by works that we enter into heaven. It is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. However, once we have done that, our rewards in heaven are based on what we have done for others here. So rewards will either be given or withheld. And so how generous are you with others who come to you in need? How generous are you with forgiveness? You have the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus says that there are some who will enter into heaven, but they will just get there by the skin of their teeth. They will have nothing. All of their good works will be burned up because there are no good works, and they were nothing but selfish on the earth. Okay. And the issue with the two judgments, for the first one, the great white throne judgment, you must have faith in Christ as your Savior. You need to be as Jesus said, born again, born of the Spirit, the Apostle Paul said, in Christ. So that is what is needed for the great white throne judgment, to escape that. And in the judgment seat of Christ, we will be given, we will receive reward for all we've done, and we will have things taken away from us for things that we did not do. Alright, so the two great coming judgments are different for believers and unbelievers respectively. Those who believe in Christ as Savior will not come under judgment for their salvation, but will escape condemnation. However, they will have to give an account for how they lived as Christians. Those who have rejected Christ as Savior face only the judgment of condemnation and the lake of fire. Appropriately, the Bible ends with both a reminder of rewards. Okay, so again, appropriately, the Bible ends with rewards for believers. And he says this in Revelation at the end of this book. And behold, I, Jesus, am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give every one according. one. But there's also an invitation to unbelievers if they have not come yet and acknowledge Christ. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. And again, and this is Revelation 22. Both of these verses are in the same chapter. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him come and take of the water of life freely before it is too late. So in summation, by studying end time prophecy, believers are strengthened in their faith. We are motivated to live holy lives because there are rewards coming. We are encouraged to be vigilant and ready for Christ's return. And we are compelled to share the gospel with more urgency. And I would like to read for you some words from St. Paul. Take it from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Are you generous or stingy with what God has given you? Do you share the good news? Brothers and sisters, I think that this restoration of all things is something for us to look forward to. And it's something that is not often preached about. And so I would invite you to thank God for that all things will be restored. We will be with those who love us. And if you believe, even our furry friends, God knows that we are lovers inside. He knows that. And he wants to bless each and every one of us. He is waiting to bless you. All things are in his hands. But the decision, of course, is ours, whether to accept Christ and whether or not to live as he wanted us to live. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for every inch of it. Help us, Lord, to see the good news, to see that you are waiting on the other side with love for us. We love you.